So glad y'all are here today. Wasn't last Sunday great? Wasn't last Sunday great at Tammany Oaks? If you missed it, ask somebody to catch you up on what happened. Now, you know, there are some churches within our own fellowship where much emphasis is placed on the command to attend the assemblies of the church. And that command, of course, is found right here. Some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. Okay, yeah, technically, that's a command. Technically, that's a command. But as commands go, that one's pretty far down the list. Way below the top two commands. Y'all remember the top two commands? Remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbors yourself. Those are the top two. Those are the two commands that we at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ have all agreed, right? We've all agreed that they're the ones we're going to be focused on. They're the ones that we're going to work on until we get them right. And until we get those first two commands right, we really got no business jumping on people who might be struggling with some of the lesser commands. Amen? Now, the last time I checked with y'all, nobody was willing to say that they were completely and totally living out commandment number one. Now, has that changed any in 2024? Anybody willing to now say, yep, I got it, I'm doing it? No? Nobody? Okay. We're still a work in progress, right? And God's not finished with us yet. And here's the crazy part about all this. The closer we get to figuring out commandment number one and commandment number two, and living out commandment number one and commandment number two, the more all those other lesser commandments are going to work themselves out. They just are. For instance, the closer we get to loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind, well, the closer we're going to get to, and the closer we get to really loving our neighbors, the less we're going to want to miss being together with our family here to worship, right? Anyway, I said all of that just to say this. If you missed last week, you're not in trouble with God. You're not in trouble with us. But when you talk to your friends and find out what all happened last week and how great it was, you're going to find yourself learning. Just like Doubting Thomas learned all those years ago, that the day you decide to miss church is pretty much always going to be the day Jesus shows up. Amen? Anyway, okay, greater things. We've been wrestling with this now for the last 4 weeks. We're into February already, y'all. Where is this year going? Anyway, this past Sunday, we saw that for Jesus, the first step in the greater things of his ministry was his baptism. You remember that from last week? And we talked about how all those amazing things that happened at his baptism, the heavens being torn open, the Spirit coming down, and then those beautiful words of affirmation, "You are my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased," those words coming down from the Father. All of those things still happen at every baptism. And I hope and I trust that you saw and heard all of that last week when Gretchen was baptized. Baptism is for us, just like it was for Jesus, the first step to greater things. So, Talked about that last week. What do you think we ought to talk about this week? If last week we figured out the first step, maybe this week we ought to take a look at the next step. You think? Because as great as last week was, and it was great, as great as that first step is for each of us, we can't just stay there. We cannot just stay there. We are called on. We've got to move on. Look what God said it to his people long ago, and he's still saying it. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people to get moving. He's still saying that. Ambrose, tell those people to get moving. Jesus calls us to follow him, so let's follow. But before we do, let me clarify. Yes, I know. I do know this. For some of us in here, myself included, our first step of baptism wasn't just a couple of days ago. It's been more than that for a lot of us in here. And I know that those of us who stepped into the water more than just a few days ago, you didn't just stop there. You didn't. I know that. We all went on to some next steps for which God is well pleased. But none of us who took those first steps, that first step so long ago, we haven't been given a pass for now. None of us who took that first step long ago are now exempt from God's call to the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ to greater things now in 2024 and frankly for the rest of our lives. So come on. All of us who stepped into the water a long time ago and all of you newer disciples, let's get moving. Let's get moving. And wouldn't it be great if the next step for Jesus on his way to greater things in his ministry and for us now on our way to greater things, wouldn't it be great if that next step was something totally awesome? Like walking on water. Turning water into wine. Or maybe for some of us in our time, preaching a great sermon. Wouldn't that be great? I know. Wouldn't that be great? Or writing a great book. Or maybe, for some of us, doing that perfect Facebook post that totally eviscerates those people who claim to be Christians but who don't really have any respect for the authority of the Bible. You know, those people who don't agree with me. Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's not what happened for Jesus. That wasn't his next step. Did you know that? His next step from the water was not doing miraculous things. He didn't walk out of that water on top of the water. Did y'all know that? He did something else entirely. The next step for Jesus was not the glittery, not the miraculous, not the kind of thing that's exciting and positive and full of great publicity. In fact, it was the kind of thing that wasn't any fun at all. The kind of thing we tend to avoid today. When Jesus got up out of the water, he went off by himself into the wilderness. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, it says, right after his baptism. Right after. What did you do immediately after your baptism? What did you do, Gretchen, immediately after your baptism yesterday, last week? I mean, y'all remember? Do you even remember all those years ago for some of you? I mean, you probably had a celebration of some kind. Maybe a dinner with the family and friends and that type of thing. Some kind of wonderful celebration, which is great, by the way. But who would want this right after that joy-filled first step of baptism? Frankly, it looked like this may not have been even what Jesus was wanting after his baptism. He might not have even been anticipating this exactly right after his baptism, right after the heavens were torn open, right after those beautiful words of affirmation from his Father. I mean, look what it says. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. Some versions say forced him into the wilderness. Some versions say pushed him into the wilderness. I don't know about you, but for me, nobody's got to drive me or push me or force me someplace where I really want to go. Amen? Now, of course, all you good Bible scholars out here recognize that this is the moment, this is the time when Jesus goes into the wilderness and he's there for 40 days. He's fasting for 40 days. He's tempted by the devil. And man, there's a lot of great stuff that we could get out of those accounts of his time in the wilderness there. We could really dig deep there. We might do that someday. But for now, for our purposes in trying to figure out what the next step in our own search for greater things, you know, the greater things that Jesus said his followers are going to do, remember? Let's narrow down the focus of those 40 days in the wilderness to this. What do you think Jesus was doing in the wilderness for those 40 days, when he was fasting, when he was alone in the wilderness? What do you think he was doing those 40 days, at least during the time, as Mark says in the next verse, he was there with the wild animals. He was having to deal with wild animals. What do you think he was doing for 40 days? Anybody? Meditating? What? Praying! Obviously, he was praying and meditating. He was praying, yes. Now look, I get it. You can't open up your Bibles to any of the accounts of Jesus 40 days in the wilderness time and find, and he prayed. It doesn't say that. I get that. But don't we know Jesus well enough by now to know that that's exactly what he was doing for 40 days? I mean, that's how he lived his whole life on this earth. He was in constant prayer. He prayed so much, and he prayed so well, that, if you remember this, of all the things his disciples could have asked him to teach them how to do, teach us how to walk on water, teach us how to raise the dead, teach us how to feed 5,000 people just a little bit. The only thing we know that they asked him how to do, the only thing we know that they asked him, Lord, teach us, is what? Teach us to pray. Luke 11, verse 1. It says it right there. Lord, teach us how to pray. So of course he was praying. He was praying during that 40 days in the wilderness. And really, all through his ministry, he was praying. About what? We kind of talked about it a little bit this morning in Andy's class. He was getting his own will to line up with the Father's will. To line up exactly with the will of his Father. Because once he did that, that assured him that his ministry going to be characterized by greater things because his will was the same as his Father's will. And look at this verse that I just found this morning. I just found it this morning and had to get Matthew to put it in because I didn't know about this verse until this morning. So Jesus answered them, "I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own. He does only what he sees his Father doing. What the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And he will show him even greater things." Do you see that? "He will show him even greater things to do than this, and you will all be amazed." Now, if you've been in our sermons for the last 4 weeks, you realize that not only did Jesus use this phrase, greater things, at the beginning of his ministry, he used it at the end of his ministry. That's the verse we've been looking at as our theme verse. And now we see he said it right here in the middle of his ministry. Greater things. That's kind of cool. All right, well, let's jump ahead now to our theme verse. Telling you the truth, those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will even do greater things because I'm going to the Father. This is where he said it at the end of his ministry. Greater things. That's what Jesus wants to characterize the lives of all of his followers. Back then and even today. He's going to the Father, as he says here. The mission now is in our hands. But he doesn't just leave it here. Jesus now tells us exactly how these greater things are going to be done. And he tells us why these greater things are going to be done. The purpose for the greater things. And isn't it great to know, if you're going on a journey of greater things or any kind of a journey, isn't it great to know how you're going to get there and why you're going so that you get to the right place? Jesus tells us right here, "I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." Ask in my name. He says it twice right here in the space of two verses. And if you keep on reading in John, you'll see that he says it twice in chapter 15 and once in chapter 60. Ask in my name and I'll do it for you. Well, what does that mean? What's he talking about when he says ask in my name? That's prayer, right? Right? Anybody out there? Hello? Yeah, that's prayer, isn't it? Of course it's prayer. Prayer was the next step that Jesus took after his baptism. He had to do that in order to begin his ministry of greater things. And now we see that he's telling us, his followers, that prayer is going to be our next step. And really, prayer is going to be the foundation upon which every step in our ministry of greater things is going to be based. Prayer is the how of greater things. Except it's prayer in his name. You see that? He keeps saying that. In my name. Prayer in my name. Well, I guess that means that those are like some magic words that you put on the end of every prayer. And if you put those magic words in the prayer, then it's going to happen. Right? That's what he says. Right? If you pray in my name, I'm going to do it. And isn't that pretty much why we always, often, pretty much always, end our prayers with, "In Jesus' name, amen"? And when people don't say that, we go, "Whoa, wait a minute." We wake up, don't we, from our slumbers, and we hear, "Whoa, he didn't say the right words." Well, let's just see if that's exactly right, if it's really magic words. But there's a really fun story in the book of Acts that tells us, no, that's not what he's talking about at all. Here's this fun story. Some of y'all remember this. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to set free those who were controlled by demons. They said, in Jesus' name, I command you to come out. You know, he is the Jesus that Paul is preaching about. Seven sons of Sceva were doing this. Sceva was a Jewish high priest, Jewish chief priest. One day, the evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on Sceva's sons, and he overpowered them all. He gave them a terrible beating, and they ran out of the house naked. Not naked, it's naked when this happens to you, and bleeding. Isn't that a great story? But they said the right words, didn't they? The magic words? God, it didn't actually work out that way. Here's another one. This is what Jesus said. This one's not so funny. This one's kind of a funny story. The truth is, it's not that funny. This is what Jesus says. In that day, what day is this? Judgment Day. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name and do many great things in your name? Then I shall tell them plainly, I have never known you. Go away from me. You have worked on the side of evil. But in your name, we did all this in your name. In my name means a lot more than simply taking those words and plugging them into a prayer. It's really a phrase that means that when you say it, it means you are invoking everything about that person, Jesus. Everything about who he is. Everything about how he thinks, what he thinks. Everything about what his will is. Everything about his power. Everything about his authority. Everything about his life. In my name. Whatever you ask, that's in accordance with all that I'm about. Everything that I represent, everything that's in accordance with my will, those are the things that I will do for you. Okay. But how in the world are we going to know if what we're praying for falls within being in accordance with his will, in accordance with all that he represents? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. May I suggest that any thought of us having a complete and total understanding of everything about his will and all that he represents is probably going to be beyond our mortal abilities. Okay? But, we can have a pretty good idea of a lot of his will. But only if we're willing to work for it. Only if we're willing to do what it takes to spend the time in his word. Amen? Spend the time with your faith family here, studying, wrestling with it. Praying about it. Remember, as we learned in our Wednesday night class a few months ago, that Jesus himself spent many years in intense study of the Hebrew Scriptures before his baptism. And then 40 days of intense being with God, intense prayer, getting his will in sync with God's will. I mean, he worked at it hard. And he did it so that he knew that his will was in sync with his Father, so that anything he asked of his Father was going to do for him. Are any of us really doing all that we can? Are we really, really doing all that we can to know his will? Well, that's between you and Jesus. You'll figure that out. Okay, yeah, but there's another condition that has to be met before he's going to answer all the prayers. Let's see, where are we here? Okay, back to our scripture here. Back to our scripture here. The how is asking his prayer in his name, right? That's the how. The why of greater things, the purpose of greater things is this. So that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. Do you see that there? Here's why I want you to be doing greater things. So that the Father's glory will be shown. The why, the purpose of greater things is so that the Father's glory will be shown. Which means that whatever greater things that you or me or us together attempt through prayer in his name are just not going to succeed unless they point away from us and to him. Do we see that? Do we see that? Amen? Are you disappointed in that? I kind of am, got to tell you the truth. I kind of wanted everything to be about me. You know? Which is foolish. Matthew chapter 7 that we looked at, I kind of think that's what was going on there. Didn't we cast out demons in your name and blah, blah, blah? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do the other great thing? Who was getting the glory there? I think that's why Jesus said, I never knew you. Because all these things you thought you claimed to be doing in my name, you were doing in your own name and for your own glory. As long as it's about me, it's never going to amount to anything. Jesus even said, apart from me, you can do a little bit. No, he said, you can do nothing apart from me. As long as it's about me, it will never amount to anything. But let it be about the glory of God. And there is no limit to how great it can be. Amen? There's no limit. Why? Because God is without limit. He's not in this little box that we talked about in Andy's class this morning about, he can do this, but he can't do this. No. There is no limit to the great things that can happen when we ask in Jesus' name, according to his will, according to his purpose, for the glory of God. He must increase, we must decrease. Amen? Let's keep the focus on God, and he will do great things. Amen? Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.